there. Oh, God, my mic's all over the place. And tonight here on what is wrong with this thing? Hold on. Here on Podzilla 1985 Network, it is, I want to believe, I am your host, Agent Shannon Young of the Federal Bureau of Instigation. With me tonight, of course, we have the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
Yes.
We got Double H.
I'm drinking tea.
I'm drinking nothing. I have nothing.
You thought that thing on Friday was just a bit. No, I'm taking your role in the show. Also, Lindsay Wolfgang is here.
Yes, I am.
Usurped.
Oh. And he left. And he's back. It's fine. I just finished the tea. So you can now it's yours now. It's gotta be
I have
your
no
tea.
I have no drink. I didn't have time to grab a drink before the show, and it's dicking with me a little bit, so
we'll get a story started and then you can run and make some drink.
Well, no, it's fine. I don't need to be up much more. Real quick, because I'm not going to be on Pro Wrestling Unscripted tomorrow, I do want to mention that I made my big return over the weekend at CCW Best of the Best. There's a clip of it on my Facebook. Actually, a couple, because Tanner recorded it for me, and Mandy got some really good angles of it. I'm really happy with how it went down. I'm very proud of it. It was a very cool thing, so please go check that out if you would like to support me. Also, Dalton was there. Dalton actually wrestled. So I don't want to take anything away from him.
Yeah, he broke his nose.
Or something like that.
Something to that
effect. That's how he's
selling it. Well, the boy can sell. He is a wrestler. The boy can't sell. All right. We're here to talk about the creepy and crawlies tonight, though. And let's just jump right into it. We're going to start with a story that I saw originally on Yahoo, but when I clicked it, it was gone. And then I saw a link for it on Reddit, and when I clicked it, it was gone. I finally found it on MSN, and I got this from SF Crow's Nest. And this story's a little bit out there, but man, it's one of those things that I want to believe. A Russian climate scientist has defected, taking a crazy account of what happened when he and his team went missing for 5 days while exploring a strange subterranean lake 12,000 feet beneath the ice sheet. Dr. Anton Padalka, not Padilla, Hunter.
Anton's got his life together.
He briefed the Swiss government about how his research team came across an odd, hostile life form that the Russian government subsequently classified under the title Organism 46B, which the doctor described as a highly intelligent creature akin to an octopus. It murdered three of the doctor's team before the remaining scientists hightailed it back to the surface, and that is the only information that I can find out about this story. So,
that sounds like something from a movie.
Yeah, I'm going to really need more. This sounds like some ARG that someone put up on the internet and then abandoned, and now everyone thinks it's an actual story.
I want to know more about this. Yeah, I want to know more about Organism 46B. Why is it 46B? Right? What happened to 1 through 45? Is there a 46A? You know?
There should be. If there's not.
Is it 46B because it has that many tentacles and it's a boy?
Ooh.
Well, if it had 46 tentacles, it wouldn't be
They said it was akin to an octopus.
Point is, would you believe that the Russian government is keeping something classified? Who would have thought?
Go ahead.
Oh, I got nothing.
Tanner, go ahead.
I just said, who'd have thunk it?
Yes. Here's some bad news for you, Shannon. This story is 4 years old.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking around here. I found express.co.uk. I'm going to send you the link right now. This story is from November 3rd of 2016. Originally, anyway.
Huh. Well, I'll be damned. Well,
we still haven't heard anything else about it.
It's new to me. Well, clearly not, because 4 years later and there's still no parts of the story. So, moving on.
This is exactly the same story. It says, giving details which sounded like the script of a B-horror film, he added, quote, we encountered organism 46B on our first day. It disabled our radio, which we later learned to our alarm was intentional. It was also able to paralyze prey from a distance of up to 150 feet by releasing its venom into the water. Tragically, my colleague and lifelong friend was killed this way. He tread water wearing a blissful smile as the organism approached him. We watched helplessly as it used its arms to tear off his head and then popped its remains in its mouth. It was as if it had hypnotized him telepathically.
That's a good story. That's a good I want to believe.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
terrifying.
That just reminds me of the fact that so here lately for some reason Coast to Coast has been posting stories on their website on the Facebook, I should say, with the title. In case you missed it and you go to click on it, it's from like 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's where I got this. That's where I saw this originally, was Coast to Coast. So I guess I'm going to stop using Coast to Coast as a portal to the unknown, because they're posting stories from 4 years ago making me look like a jackass. No, shut up! Making me look like a jackass on my own show. Sorry.
Look for the tag in case you missed it. Once they put that on there, then you know it's an older story.
I didn't mean to yell at you.
It's okay.
See, newsintact.com posted this story on April 13th of this year. So no one seems to decide. No, wait a minute. In 2012, the elliptical drill bit finally reached down the eastern shore of the lake. A team of 8 men was lowered to the original surface of the continent, 1 man at a time. What followed was a closely guarded state secret until a Russian scientist defected to the West. So they're saying it happened in 2012, and it came out in 2016.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Intrigue. Why is but apparently, long wait, I wonder.
Apparently, Organism 46B has become quite the cryptid, because that's what I looked up to find this, has become quite the little cryptid on the internet. Like, people are very, very curious about Organism 46B.
Did they ever find anything else out about him?
I'm just seeing him on a cryptid wiki. Like literally, this
is classified.
Yeah, this is, here you go. I'll send you this link. But it looks like this is a lot of the same type of information that we've already got here. Vostok Station was apparently established by the Soviets in 1957. Discovered to have been sighted atop a vast body of liquid water beneath the ice in 74. They drilled through for 30 years, made it through in 2012, and then again on 2016 when the story first broke. That's when all this have come out. Now all this has come out, apparently.
All right, moving on. Fine, I concede. This one is, I don't like this one. Hunter, you read this one. I'm too angry.
Oh, let me bring it back up. Okay. So Joe Exotics Zoo, because that's who we want to talk about here on I Want to Believe. I want to believe that Joe will eventually recover financially. That's what I would like to believe. but from what I heard, he will never financially recover from this. Anyway, his zoo has been the setting for some terrible acts, which we all know. The so-called Tiger King abused and euthanized dozens of his own animals. His first husband, Travis Maldonado, committed suicide in the main office of the zoo, and all of this have led fans questioning whether or not the zoo is haunted. Well, guess who wants to find out? It's the ghost bro himself, Zach Bagans, and the rest of the Ghost Adventures team. The zoo, of course, is known as the Greater Wynwood Exotic Animal Zoo and is going to be the focus of an upcoming episode of Ghost Adventures, which just prompts me to think of that meme. What is this, a crossover episode? WKDQ has reported the episode will be 2 hours long and follow the team as they investigate the abandoned zoo at night. They're going to try to make contact with the various spirits and determine how many cats have been laid to rest in the zoo's eerie cages. Jeff Lowe and his wife Lauren, the people who own it now, who you saw in the documentary too, they told TMZ that Baskin is apparently inheriting a zoo with more than its fair share of supernatural energy, because of course Carol Baskin is now in control of it. She would be the quote-unquote bitch down in Florida. They claim to have found, quote, the remains of a young American Indian boy, I assume they mean Native American, on the grounds, as well as, quote, other bodies that they are refusing to discuss until they launch their untitled reality show in 2021. So now I understand if you'd like to tell them what you titled this show in the document, or this
story.
Hold on,
let me crack my knuckles. For fuck's sake, are you kidding me? Like, this
are
is the
you
most
surprised.
This is exactly what I wanted. Zach Bagans and Tiger King. That's exactly what the world needed.
I can't fathom this. Like, I'm sorry. There's a level I can take, and this goes over it. I like Ghost Adventures. I like Ghost Adventures. I like them. I like Zach Bagans. I like his team. I enjoy that show, and I've defended them so much with all of the things that they go and investigate. And even though, yeah, they're kind of Scooby-Doo in the gang and they're the ghost bros and all that. But this is too much to go and investigate Carol Baskin's new zoo, just because the Tiger King is popular and all that. And they found the remains of a young Indian boy and other bodies that they're refusing to discuss until their untitled reality show in 2021. This is the most blatant fucking
clickbait show.
Clickbait cash grab. Oh my God. This is disgusting on so many levels. I hate this so much. And I don't think I've ever been this upset on I Want to Believe before about a story. But this takes the cake. This is insulting both to the paranormal world and to cats.
And that's the problem. Yes. That's the problem, because you want to believe. Nothing about this is believable. No part of this comes across as though, yes, this is going to turn up some reasonable, you know, scientific evidence of anything that we care about. Okay, you say things.
I'll be the one to admit that I do enjoy some of Zach Bagans stuff. Like
be the one to admit. I've been saying it this entire time.
I hate the man. I don't hate the man. I dislike the man strongly, but some of his work I enjoy. His museum, I think, is actually pretty nice. You know, just how he's got it set up.
Yes.
But man, this is a cash grab is all this is.
Yes.
Tanner,
yes,
would you at least say that he seems approachable? Like you could have a beer with him?
No. Ugh. No, don't waste that reference on him.
You could probably drop some acid with him, maybe see what he sees. Oh. Yeah, this one took me by surprise, and like I'm not surprised by it. I'm not surprised. I'm in an angry
You're just
I'm
disappointed.
I'm in an angry zone right now, and this is I can't even describe the word. I don't have the words. I'm not going to watch Ghost Adventures anymore. I'm not going to do it. This is one of those things that it pushes me over the edge. I'd rather go on YouTube and watch Nuke's Top 5. I'd rather watch Frostmare. I'd rather watch Chills.
Easy.
Than watch fucking Ghost Adventures at this point. Yeah, it is insulting. Travel Channel, you fucks. All right.
At least Chills isn't going the zoo. All
right. I got the next story. It's from RT.com. One of the former fighter pilots who encountered a mysterious flying object off the coast of California.
And there goes Tanner.
In 2004, says the unidentified phenomena committed an act of war in the unexplained encounter. Commander David Fravor witnessed the tic-tac-shaped object perform extraordinary aerial maneuvers that no known human technology is capable of in November 2004. The former U.S. Navy pilot said the UFO was unlike anything he ever encountered. Now, if you remember this real quick, this is one of those videos that came out thanks to Tom DeLonge and the To the Stars Academy, where they had the UFO on radar for an extended period of time, and they were reacting to it, and it was one of the more famous clips. Commander Fravor was dispatched to investigate the area after radar anomalies were detected. He was followed by other pilots who successfully recorded footage of the strange phenomena. The video was leaked in 2017 before being declassified by the Pentagon earlier this year. Fravor recounted the perplexing encounter in a podcast interview with Massachusetts Institute of Technology scientist Lex Friedman. Sure. The ex-pilot said that anytime he tried to get close to the object, it rapidly accelerated and was gone in less than a second. After landing, Fravor mentioned the UFO to a colleague, Chad Underwood, who successfully located the unidentified phenomena, only for it to jam his radar. Quote, he's telling the radar, stare down the line of sight. Whatever is there, I want you to grab it and build a trace file on it, which will tell you where it is, how fast it is, and the direction that it's going. The radar is smart enough that when the signal comes back, if it's been messed with, it will tell you. It will give you indications that it's being jammed. It's being jammed into about every mode you can see. You can tell it's being jammed. So basically, whatever this thing was that they saw of it, not only did they see it and it followed them or whatever, but apparently it also jammed their radar, which I guess technically is a act of war. So now we have these UFO videos and we have all this declassification and stuff like that. And now that could be, I mean, obviously who are they going to declare war on? But this, it's gone from a curiosity to, if this is true, now it is an actual act of war by whatever entity is doing this, whether it be extraterrestrial, whether it be a foreign government, they have now done something against us.
See, what I'm really curious about is the act of war part. Is it because they jammed the radar? Is it because they were flying in occupied airspace, or a little from column A, a little from column B?
I think it was more the radar.
Jamming.
Yeah, I don't think being in the airspace was technically an act of war, because I don't think they were flying over anything that was, you know,
right,
restricted airspace.
Yeah.
But the fact that they jammed the radar, yeah, I think that's what did it here.
I have a hard time thinking that jamming a radar is considered an act of war.
See, this is why I think it might.
If you don't know what it is and you're trying to contact, though, you don't know whether it's friendly or not.
Yeah, this is why I think it might be a little more than just the radar jam, because if it's they're jamming the radar, they refuse to identify themselves, and they're in American airspace, you put all those pieces together, and then it becomes act of war-esque.
Right. So maybe it's a combination of all things, but at the very least, again, if you're one of those people sitting on the fence thinking to yourself, well, this isn't that important. If whatever this thing is, it's not just a curiosity at this point. Now it is an actual near combatant if it's actually affecting our airplanes and our radars and stuff like that. So to me, that is a scary thing. And until something happens, as in UFOs come down to the planet and start shooting everything or something like that, something major has to happen for it to get traction. Of all the shit that's happened in 2020, 2021, whatever year this is, don't threaten me with a good time. Like, this would be the only thing that I actually am happy would happen if aliens came and destroyed the entire place. Blah.
Real quick, Sean, before we move on.
How could you be happy about it if you weren't here anymore?
Blah, blah, blah.
You said if they came and destroyed the entire place.
Well, they wouldn't kill me. I'm one of the good ones.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the ones sitting on top of the skyscraper holding the sign saying welcome.
But I was already on top of the skyscraper for different reasons. I just happened to have the sign with me. It doesn't count.
But I heard that the only way to stop a bad alien with a gun... Never mind.
Is a good roach with a gun.
Wait, you got to deal with him again?
All our aliens are trained and they're church-going aliens, so... Tanner, do you have a question?
Yeah, I needed you to repeat the commander's name from that story again.
Fravor, I think?
What was that?
Fravor? I don't know.
Rawr.
Fucking hell. This is the last show I do forever. I'm quitting the show.
That was
I'm
the sassiest the show. Laugh.
That was his Burt Reynolds laugh. That was the same laugh he did when he did Burt Reynolds. Hey,
it's true.
Yeah, check the board.
It appears that Tanner Calvert has changed his name to Turd Ferguson.
It's a funny name. All right, Tanner, you want to read the next one?
Okay, from Express.
Yeah.
Shut up! A rare blue moon will appear.
Blue moon!
Oh, sorry. There it is.
Are you
Tanner,
down?
Can you hear us?
No.
I saw you standing alone. Go ahead.
Anyway, a rare blue moon will appear on the night of October 31st, just 3 days before the U.S. presidential election is held. Pastor Paul Begley, a frequent purveyor of doomsday prophecies and conspiracy theories, believes this is a biblical sign from the heavens that hints at the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know where this is going. In an online broadcast
watched by
more than 12,000 people, the Indiana-based preacher urged his followers to be ready for the omen. Let me tell you a little bit more about this blue moon on Halloween.
By the way, I want to point out he's... Yeah, okay, I don't want to think that you are telling us about the blue moon.
It's from you.
All right, quoting, let me just tell you a little bit more about this blue moon on Halloween. It is rare. We won't have another one of these till 2039, another blue moon on Halloween. They are extremely rare anyway, and then when they hit on a Halloween, that's just eerie, especially the Halloween just before the most important election in American history, end quote. Why did I feel like Trump reading that?
I was going to say, I wonder who Begley's voting for.
Nobody, because it's the end of the world.
Yeah, Pastor Begley.
Well, apparently not, because he says in 2039 it's going to happen again.
Pastor Begley is a fervent believer in Bible prophecy. I'm going to change that to biblical prophecy. And has made similar claims on numerous past occasions. He frequently spreads doomsday rumors about blood moon lunar eclipses. And has said the hoax planet...
Nibiru
threatens to sideswipe Earth.
Hunter, that sounds like from the SNL skit Nibiru.
J-pop America fun time now.
It's aww. Augusta.
Moving on. Although rare, the moon will not turn blue. It is a matter of coincidence. It will fall on the night of Halloween. There are various descriptions of what a blue moon is, with most popular describing the second of two full moons in the same calendar month. According to the Farmer's Almanac, this happens on average every 2.5 to 3 years.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is it's just a bunch of horse shit, but here we go again with another with another guy talking about the end of the world. If I had a nickel for every time the end of the world was prophesized, I'd have quite a few nickels at this point.
Prophesized.
You'd have more money than Trump's paid in taxes.
Damn! Let's get political. Let's get political on the show. Why not?
You ever see somebody ruin their own life?
I put the story
on here.
You
don't have
a wife. Are you talking about me? No, of course not. Thank you for rubbing that in.
Shut up.
Well, who doesn't have a wife, Tanner? Trump? He has a wife.
Lindsay. Lindsay doesn't have a wife.
Are you saying life or wife?
Wife. I said
Lindsay. I have.
Move I have future, on.
I have future
it's
girlfriend.
It's horse time.
By the way, you can get the new future girlfriend flare at r/podzilla1985. Do you want to be future girlfriend? If you do, send in your resumes to I thought this was about the paranormal at podzilla1985.com. And
Tanner,
we'll send
Tanner
you.
Tanner will be answering all of those emails.
Not only will we give you the future girlfriend flare, you can also get the new future girlfriend t-shirt, which then you can send back. All right.
You've really latched onto that concept.
I think future girlfriend is a great concept. And I think if there is a future girlfriend, then she would be. She would love the attention. It's like How I Met Your Mother. Except once they actually revealed who the mother was, it was like a huge disappointment. So we build up the future girlfriend thing, and then whoever future girlfriend is just a gigantic letdown. And then I can go back to doing sports radio. Wait, I'm not Cody. All right.
You're going to wake up here in a minute and be very confused.
This is it's a dumb story. I put this on there for the fun of it because it's another one of those things that, again, the doomsday prophecy, this is something that we've heard about a million times. It's not come true. It won't come true. The moon's not going to kill everybody. It's kind of neat that it's on October 31st, but, man, I'm spent.
I was going to say, if nothing else, look, take all that stuff away, and it is a nice reminder that this year, Halloween is on a Saturday with a full moon, which happens to be a blue moon.
And it's daylight savings.
And it's the same weekend. It's the same night as daylight savings. In other words, you kick it back that night. So, yeah, it's look, we got some good stuff coming up in that respect, if anything. You guys are coming up here. We're going to have a good time. We haven't discussed this yet, but now you know.
I requested to either open or be off work
that's,
already.
That's right.
So.
I was about to say TIL.
That's no, you've been hearing me talk about this on plays for the better part of a year now. We're playing 10 Candles that night. We're doing a live show.
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah.
Can I bring Future Girlfriend?
Yes.
All right. So Future Girlfriend.
Unless she's flammable.
Future Girlfriend, if you're listening. What the fuck? What?
Well.
What are you insinuating?
Use your imagination.
I won't have to because
I don't know what's happening.
She just killed Hunter is what happened.
You better be glad I don't have any tea left. Because I wouldn't right now. I'd be all over the wall.
I'm just glad Ethan wasn't here to die because that would have... If it kills Hunter, imagine what it would have done to poor Ethan.
Ethan,
or
if
Dalton.
You're
oh, my God.
Oh, geez, Dalton. Ethan, if you're
Dalton's
listening. If you're listening,
go ahead,
Ethan.
Go ahead.
More like fart night.
Dalton's jaw would have... His jaw would have actually unhinged and broken. He laughed so hard.
Dalton, if you're listening. Unless she's flammable. Sex doll.
Nope, Tanner, you don't have anything for that? Okay, well.
Fart.
There it is.
No, Tanner, no, it's the wrong show. It's the wrong show. All right. Lindsay, you want to read the next one?
No, I don't.
Oh, no, she gets the last one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right.
I'll do it.
I don't read.
I got it.
All right. All right.
I don't read aloud because I stutter. I'm sorry.
So this is from Popular Mechanics, which we jokingly talked about before. It seems like a weird place for these kind of things, but I think Popular Mechanics has kind of become like Forbes, where they just outsource a lot of their stuff. And so anyway, there's a new peer-reviewed paper out where a senior honors undergraduate says that he has mathematically proven, I hate that phrase, mathematically made likely, the physical feasibility of a specific kind of time travel. They're putting a lot of qualifiers on this. The paper is in something called Classic and Quantum Gravity. University of Queensland student, so I assume Australia, Germaine Tobar, who the university's press release calls, quote, prodigious, worked with UQ physics professor Fabio Costa, what a name, on this, that's my next D&D character, by the way, on this paper. It says, quote, in reversible dynamics with closed time-like curves and freedom of choice, Tobar and Costa say that they have found a middle ground in mathematics that solves a major logical paradox in one model of time travel. Now, the math itself is complex, but it comes down to something pretty simple. Time travel discussion focuses on closed time-like curves. That's the CTC, something that Einstein was the first one to posit. And Tobar and Costa say that as long as just two pieces of an entire scenario within a CTC are still in, quote, causal order when you leave, the rest is subject to what they call local free will. The paper concludes saying, quote, our results show that CTCs are not only compatible with determinism and with a local free choice of operations, but also with a rich and diverse range of scenarios and dynamical processes. Now, the university statement is where Costa explains with an analogy. So he breaks it down for a bunch of idiots like us and says, quote, say you traveled in time in an attempt to stop COVID-19's patient zero from being exposed to the virus. However, if you stopped that individual from becoming infected, that would eliminate the motivation for you to go back and stop the pandemic in the first place. This is, of course, a paradox and inconsistency that often leads people to think that time travel cannot occur in our universe. Logically, it is hard to accept because that would affect our freedom to make any arbitrary action. It would mean you can time travel, but you cannot do anything that would cause a paradox to occur. Now, here's what's weird. That's basically where the story ends. So my question immediately is, what are they saying they have figured out that fixes that? Because apparently it's some mathematical complex formula they're not stating here.
Or it's all just parallel worlds.
Excuse me.
Well, no, see, the way I'm reading that is they're saying there's no, like, there are no parallel universes, parallel timelines. Like, if you go back and change something, it's where what we think of as go back, change something, cause a different timeline where that didn't happen.
Unless they pull, like, an X-Men thing where, like, you are the only one it doesn't affect because you're the one that traveled back into time.
See, that's maybe...
And changed it, but then everybody else is affected.
Let's just settle this. Let's just settle this now. I'm going to call Asa, and we're going to get him on here.
No, he'll get extremely angry because it's time travel.
Where's science, bitch?
Shit.
He's playing D&D. I invited him.
Who's he playing D&D? Someone
just got jealous.
Immediately. I'm sorry. I can't hear that anyone's playing D&D and not be like, wait, and they didn't call
me? I'm sorry.
I don't ever hang out with Calvin.
they didn't call me? Did you really think that he would be upset over not being able to play with Calvin? The boy is drier than Melania Trump's underwear.
No!
No! Well.
Anyway, the phrase that I heard there was local free will. And I think that's what, Lindsay, what you were saying. I think that may be what that's related to is it doesn't affect the person who goes back. That would be the local free will. So if that's the case, then yeah, that makes sense, but...
Because it'd be the same thing, like, it would be the case of you traveling back in time, it's still your future, not your past, because as you're living on from that point, it's still your future.
Right. Right, so, but yeah, this very much is, even though the current theory is, what is it, not, it's not string theory, it's the other one, Tanner was talking about the parallel universes and such. This very much takes, I guess, because I think that's string theory, right? The single line, and no matter what you do,
the single line, and you roll it up, and the points touch. And yes, we've watched Quantum Leap.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was sassy.
Yep. She's apparently I'm not the only one in a mood tonight.
I mean, I've also watched. Look, I wasn't trying
I'm
to
ready
explain.
For
I was
my vacation,
asking.
Okay?
I was asking a question, and but anyway. So that appears to be what they're suggesting here. But again, I really would like a better breakdown. They gave the analogy, but I'm like, okay, but how are you fixing that?
Yeah. Like, there's like, okay, this is what it is, but okay, and?
Yeah.
The only time travel that I can even think as acceptable is that theory that you create an alternate timeline every time you do it. That there are
the parallel worlds.
That there are an unlimited amount of timelines that you can create, or that they've already been created. Like maybe every timeline that exists of based on that variation, and maybe it's a God thing where he already knew it was going to happen. So there are all these just different versions, which would mean that there's an.
Are you sure you haven't been watching the last season of Supernatural?
I can assure you, with on the soul of my future sex doll that I have not watched the last season of Supernatural.
Because that's very much what God is doing.
Also, if I can ask you personally, Lindsay, what do you think the sex doll that I would purchase would be made out of? That she would be
depends
flammable.
On how far into debt you're going in.
Someone's done research.
I'll just head over. Look, I'm a cheap man.
I was making a cheap shot. Look, how often do I do that?
Look, I've got a shovel, and I could just hit.
Wait a minute.
Let's bring it back to I Want to Believe. Right, let's bring it back to I Want to Believe.
Let's not go there.
You open the door. I'm gonna change a future girlfriend to future cadaver.
Anyway, Shannon,
wouldn't it be current? Never mind. No. No.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the cadaver would still be flammable.
This is the show now. It's horse time.
It's ghost horse time. All right, let's Lindsay, last one's... fucking Tanner, go!
I'm not reading it out loud.
No, it's Tanner's first.
So, what I was trying to say is, there's a really great show that's been on TV for about 30 years, Shannon, that has time travel that kind of relates to this topic that we were talking about with the parallel timelines.
Is it still on? The Simpsons.
No.
We all remember Sliders. We know how great it was.
No, we all don't remember Sliders.
It's just an amazing show, Shannon. You should really check out.
I swear to God,
if this somehow relates to some kind of version of Hamilton.
It doesn't.
Okay.
It's Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Z.
There he is. He's gone. All right, I gotta go too. I'll see you guys.
I'm glad we got rid of him.
I gotta go. Bye bye.
Aw.
They left.
Yeah, they did.
I'm so confused right now.
You wanna read the story?
No, I don't. I don't read things out loud because I stutter.
Oh, it's okay. At least you don't sound like a hick.
Okay, are they really not coming back?
I couldn't hold out as long. I tried to hold out as long as I could. He left, though. He's gone. I think he actually disconnected. So we should probably just say, I don't know
what's happening.
Look, I considered staying away. I won't lie. You talk about Dragon Ball, you cut me pretty deep.
But I came back. You and I were fingers on the trigger there. I couldn't decide how long I blinked. I flinched first, admittedly.
Oh, did you also bail?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
I assumed you knew. Nice. I was like, let's see who goes back faster.
No. All right. All right, Lindsay, last story. You read it.
It's three.
No,
it's,
I'm not reading out loud.
It's three lines. You got this.
It's three lines.
Fine. I'm assuming the one that has my name in the title of it.
Yep.
A Massachusetts construction worker's love of black licorice, which, by the way, is disgusting, wound up costing him his life. Eating a bag and a half every day for a few weeks threw his nutrients out of balance and caused the 54-year-old man's heart to stop, doctors reported.
You know what that means.
I don't like black licorice, so it's not going to cause my heart to stop.
Now I'm super confused about this story. You said you warned her, and I thought
it's because I eat candy and sugar on a daily basis all the time.
Black
licorice is not candy. Black licorice is the devil's sweets. That's not.
It's gross. Yeah. And what I eat on a daily basis is a small handful of dark chocolate M&Ms. Thank you.
The real reason this man died is because he actually ate black licorice.
Because it's gross.
I need, once again, more clarification. How much is a bag and a half? That's like a trash bag and a half? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, is it like what a package of like Twizzlers comes in, just in black licorice?
Yeah, this sounds like
that's the thing. I really don't know like what black licorice. I assumed you had to summon it directly from hell if you wanted it.
And are these
black
like
licorice?
The full like longer like Twizzler size, or are they like the little like bite size nib stuff? Yeah,
the nibs.
This reads like a 1930s or 40s newspaper article about somebody who died. Like literally today, I read the article about my great grandmother when she passed away. She really had cancer, but when they wrote the report, the doctor actually wrote down that she worked herself to death.
What? Oh, this show has everything: dead grandmothers, flammable dolls.
Hunter.
Yeah.
If you're looking for, I want to believe.
There it
this
is.
Show has everything. It has flammable sex dolls, Tanner Calvert. and Dan Cortez.
MTV's Dan Cortez.
MTV's Dan Cortez.
I couldn't decide if you were going to go with that one or my son.
What was the Jewish Dracula?
Oh, Sidney Applebaum.
Sidney Applebaum. What is this show?
No, my question is, how come we haven't done a Stefan opening?
We were so close. It was a couple of weeks ago. We were going to do one, and then we ended up changing it up at the last minute. I don't remember what. Is that when we did the Rock as the evil genius? I think that was the same show.
I think so, yeah.
Look, tonight has been weird. Let's just, after the show, we'll go across the street, and I'll get you guys some miniature beef sandwiches at that restaurant with the, you know, the medieval decor.
It's a White Castle, Hunter. Yeah. Just say White Castle. Who the hell calls White Castle a medieval sandwich shop?
Look, we're all just getting a little hangry, okay?
I know a great shawarma place.
Hunter, you have nothing to apologize for. Yes, Lindsay tried to insinuate that I was going to have sex with a flammable sex doll. But more importantly,
I mean, hang on. If we can only double back to that one more time, I think it's important to note that if this was a real person,
all I said is as long as she's
they
not
would.
Flammable.
I was gonna say they would also be flammable. Like the other insinuation is that you're dating some superhuman who cannot catch fire.
I think I've dated enough. I dated enough superhuman women. I don't know where I'm going with this bit.
I was
going
to say, I'd like to back out now.
Hunter, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is a bit that's gone south, and I'd like to back out now if I could, please.
Hey, but quick, before we move into the main topic of the night, because I'm going to forget to mention these if we don't. They weren't on the official list. But there are, as we are heading into Hocktober. Why did I say Hocktober? There are a couple of things going on.
You have birds on the brain?
Maybe. In our kind of local vicinity. Tanner, I think you posted this one, the one about the Bloomfield Road deal.
Yeah.
Shawnee Park Center, a guy named James Bond is giving a talk on the history of the Bloomfield Road and Cape, retracing the roots of it. Again, most of which can still be driven from Cape to Bloomfield. It's a free event, part of the Red House Interpretive Center Speaking Series, and that is Saturday, October 3rd at 11 a.m., so that's for the local listeners. For the relatively local, I mentioned a while back ago to the group that the Fabulous Fox Theater in St. Louis, one of my favorite places to go for basically anything, is often rumored to be haunted, and they are hosting some ghost tours through their venue as well. So that's going to be Monday, October 10th, the 17th, and the 24th. Three Mondays in a row. It's a shame it's on a Monday because I don't think we're going to end up making it because of that. But they're doing them in the evening. Tickets are $35 each. That covers your parking as well. They're on sale now through their website. I think they went on sale today, as a matter of fact. It's the St. Louis Paranormal Research Society who has put those up for grabs. So if you're in the, you know, local area, something to look into. I would love to make it to that Fox Theater, man. I might make it happen. We'll see.
If it wasn't for the fact that strictly on Mondays, I'd be there.
See, I'm thinking, I mean, so we live a lot closer to St. Louis than you guys do. Not a lot closer, but, you know, a significant amount closer. And at least a couple of those days they do them at like 6 o'clock. I could do that because it's only an hour. It's only an hour tour. So
yeah,
do that. Blaze back home in time. It wouldn't be too bad. We'll see.
So, but on the topic of Bloomfield Road, I don't know why I always try to stutter when I say that. And I'm going to use this now to take up time because we got a lot of time to cover.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel like I kind of rushed through some things. It's been a weird day.
You're good. That was plenty of topic. It just gives us time to cover some things we needed to talk about. So
like sex dolls.
Like sex dolls.
You're just not going to let it go. I'm not allowed to make any quips.
No, it's fine. It's just now there's going to be a flare that says future sex doll. It's going to happen.
Sex doll. Oh, God.
It's going to happen.
No. No, you just need the ones that's not flammable.
Not non-flammable girlfriend.
Oh, I mean, my ex-girlfriend.
That was actually the name of my punk band in my freshman year of college.
Yes,
To be fair, my ex-girlfriend replaced me with a stuffed dinosaur, so I guess I could replace her with a stuffed sex doll. That sounds fair.
Wait a minute. Okay, moving on. So I brought up in the I Want to Believe group chat, I think yesterday, how I'm working on this project about Bloomfield Road, you know, because I think it's an interesting topic. And now that Hunter's brought this up, I may have to get in contact with these people, see if they want to help with it. Anyway, moving on. So I've reached out to Michael Huntington, who has a blog called Strange Travels. Hunter, I don't know if you ever heard of this gentleman.
The name sounds familiar. Well, okay, the name of the blog sounds familiar, not necessarily the guy. What did you say his name was?
Michael Huntington.
Oh, Mike Huntington. Yeah.
I knew he was going to do it. I knew he was.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm predicting.
This is the guy that you brought this up the other night, and I was, I wasn't like seconds away from sleep or anything, but I was definitely getting there because it was a Thursday night. Yeah, I remember you talking about this. I'm looking back at it now.
So he does cryptozoology, ufology, just paranormal in general. But he has a blog about all of his strange travels, which a lot of them are local for us because he lives in Cape. But he also, he's been to Bobby Mackey's a few times. He's been to several different places all over the country. And he's worked with Joel Rhodes from Southeast Missouri University. And Joel is a professor there, and the man is amazing. He's written several books on the paranormal, local and other areas. So we're working on getting a project going with them for October about Bloomfield Road. So that Hunter bringing that up reminded me of it, and I'm gonna have to get in touch with these people.
Yeah, you had brought this up originally to us, but I was looking back through and I thought, well, with these events coming up and we're heading into October, we may as well make at least a mention. I know we don't want to go too local with the show, but I'm certain that we have some local listeners who would at least want to go and check those things out. So yeah, well, I think with how
big the project is, because this isn't this like the people I'm talking to, while they are popular for local stuff, they're popular for non-local. And
right.
This is something that's pretty
I meant more the events that were happening.
Yeah.
With those being local events, we want to get those out there too. But yeah, definitely this, especially if we're going to get a chance to get them in here and have some discussions about that. Yes. Yes, please.
So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So that's just an extra contact. And then at some point in time, we're going to have a returning guest for a new book he's written. And,
yes.
I don't know if Shannon knows about this, because this is one of his hiatuses where we usurped him.
I mean, I feel like you've talked about it enough that...
What do you mean my hiatus where you usurped me? I was gone for one episode. It was PZ85 Plays.
I think he means it's off not, the show.
It, off the show. Group chat.
Oh, right.
So, Jesus Christ. I can't... I'm trying to focus up with all the texting happening, and it's super hard.
Tanner Kelver, we're really going to need you to focus up.
Roger that. Roger that. Let me try it with a different song. Oh, God. Sorry. Film.
So.
Life is a box of chocolates.
Oh, sorry.
So anyway, previously, the first big interview that Shannon and I ever had was Paul Blake Smith.
Previously on I Want to Believe.
I mean, he's not wrong. So Paul Blake Smith wrote the book MO41 Bombshell Before Roswell. It's probably one of our most popular shows. I know
it is. It's top 10 group. It's top 10 of all time too.
Well, he's written another book. It's coming out. Hunter, did we say November? Or?
I think you told me it was November. I'm almost positive. If it was November, it was sometime in late October, because I'm still trying to get my hands on a copy of that one, of his original book, because I'd like to read that before he comes on the show.
Okay.
Well, do me a favor, Tanner, and don't tell him about this episode, because he probably will not touch the show with a 10-foot sex toy.
But he reached out to me wanting to do the show, so.
Is it
flammable?
Well, they call that one Vlad the Impaler.
His new book is due out November 23rd. It is called President Eisenhower's Close Encounters. Say that five times fast.
Nope.
where he. You want me to just briefly run?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, do it.
So this was in the email that he sent to us. He says that he, quote, takes a close look in the book at the serious clues and claims that a sitting U.S. president actually met in private with friendly, landed, human-like alien beings in February of 1954. He says, until now, no one has ever produced a book on the subject, and even though it is one of the most exciting stories in UFO/ET history. He's got quite a few endorsements, everyone from Linda Moulton Howe to Ryan S. Wood, Ryan Sprague, Watergate-era attorney Douglas Caddy, and he's also, of course, when he comes on, wanted to talk back about the Bob Shelby Before Roswell as well, in case you missed the original show. Roswell as well, that sounded weird. But anyway, yeah, he's the new book is due out on November 23rd, President Eisenhower's Close Encounters by Paul Blake Smith, and I believe we were looking at having him in sometime next month during October, A, because it's spooky, and B, because that way we can get that in before the book goes on sale.
Yeah. Are we still going to do that Flatliners thing?
What's that thing?
Where I kill myself,
nope.
And then you guys
nope.
let me... No, no,
nope.
hear
nope.
me out.
Nope, I will
hear
not.
And then you guys bring me back to life after a certain amount of time, and I tell you what the other side was like?
No, we are not qualified to do that.
Hunter, you know what this reminds me of?
No.
This reminds me of that time you tried to drill a hole through your head.
Yeah, well, that would have worked if you hadn't stopped me.
Hey, Cody.
No. he won't know. You know he's
he
not.
He won't know.
He's not listening to this show anyway.
He
no,
checked
that's
out
wrong.
Somewhere.
He probably does.
Somewhere
he listens to all the shows. Cody is the real super fan.
Flammable sex doll, though, I believe is where he probably checked
Can
out.
Can we stop, please?
I used to be the super fan, and then I got on all the shows, and now I'm like, well, I don't want to listen to myself.
Hey, Tanner, do you know why I like the flammable sex doll so much?
Why?
Because she's hot.
Lindsay, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can, but honestly, I've been hunting for the needle that I dropped so I don't stab myself with it later.
Or the cat, for that matter.
Tanner, did you have a topic you wanted to talk about? Because we're about 14 minutes out, and you still ain't brought it up.
That's okay.
No, it's not. We have 14 minutes.
No, because otherwise it's just us bullshitting for 14 minutes. Tell us. So the main topic we were going to talk about tonight, and I know it's been a weird night. Believe me, I know. I've been there. We were going to talk about Skinwalker Ranch. And we've talked about Skinwalker Ranch on the show before. We've never gotten super in-depth about it, though. And I will be honest with you, beyond the horror stories that I've heard about Skinwalker Ranch, I'm not incredibly familiar with it. So, Tanner, for those who don't know what Skinwalker Ranch is, because it is a very, very iconic place in the paranormal community, give them a little bit of an idea of what the Skinwalker Ranch is.
So... the idea of a skinwalker, it's the name Skinwalker comes from a Native American legend. Some people would recognize it as a, like, if to go into description, it would be like a shapeshifter. I mean, that's basically what it is. Skinwalker Ranch has been believed to be either paranormal in the effect of its Native American legend continuing on, or it's this entire time has been UFO and alien related. And to be fair, there's been a lot of UFO activity that's happened at the ranch.
You're talking about Sherman Ranch?
Yes.
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 That's the actual ranch, just to clarify. I mean, it's that Skinwalker Ranch is what everybody knows it as, but Sherman Ranch is the official name in Utah, Southeast Ballard, Utah.
And on the Ute. They call it. So, and I'm gonna pull straight from the Wikipedia to describe the place for everybody. Like Hunter said, Skinwalker Ranch is also known as Sherman Ranch. It's a property located approximately 512 acres in Utah. It's famous for its UFO and paranormal activity. It takes its name from the Navajo legends of the Skinwalker. UFO reports in the Uinta Basin were publicized during the 70s. Claims about the ranch first appeared in 1996 in the Salt Lake City, Utah, Desert News, and later in an alternative weekly, Las Vegas Mercury, as a series of articles by investigative journalist George Knapp, co-host of Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
I love George Knapp. He's my, honestly, he's probably my favorite host on there. I love George Norrie, but
I like George Knapp more too, honestly. He's more the weekend guy, unfortunately.
Just a little bit ago, we were right before the show, actually, we were watching a there's a documentary on Netflix about Bob Lazar,
and
George Knapp is like the guy behind most of it, so that was kind of cool.
So George Knapp's research mainly goes into Skinwalker Ranch, but he's also the leading expert on the Lazar cases.
Yeah.
So he's the guy, and I love listening to when he hosts. There's been several books and stuff written about it. I think the property is now owned by, I'm trying to find who the people are. I can't remember if it's a company or. Let's see. Okay. NIDS, founder billionaire Robert Bigelow, purchased the ranch for $200,000. Just so he could be able to have the rights to the ranch itself, so that way they can go out and do the research on the property.
Yeah, I didn't know until I was reading this that James Randi was such a skeptic about that. I mean, obviously I knew he was a skeptic, but about this in particular, according to the wiki here, in 1996, he awarded them the Pegasus Award, which is kind of like the Darwin Award, but for this kind of thing, when pigs fly, basically. It'll never happen, is what he's suggesting, for funding the purchase of that. He called it a quote useless study of a supernatural, paranormal, or occult. Yeah,
man, I don't know. I feel like there's not been enough research to go out and say that this is a hoax. Also, he gets paid to go out and prove things are hoaxes, and I'm not saying that against him, but because I love his work, but I don't think I would. I don't think I can take his word on something like this. Now, magicians and such, psychics and such, yeah. But I feel like this is something that he doesn't really qualify for.
Well, also,
Am I wrong in thinking that?
No. But I also did not recognize that Bigelow no longer owns it. As of 2016, he sold it off to Adamantium Holdings, a guy named Brandon Fugle. A shell corporation of an unknown origin is what Adamantium Holdings is, so it's not like a real thing. At that point in time, all the roads leading to it were blocked. They secured the perimeter, guarded it with cameras and barbed wire, and put out signs basically to keep people from approaching it. And then in March of this year, this Fugle, whoever this guy is, Brandon Fugle, is the same guy who supposedly held this, who is a real estate tycoon in Utah, announced publicly he owns it. So apparently he bought it in 2016, but it was not known until this year that he admitted that basically it was his.
Which makes more sense. So when Bigelow owned it, it was private property. No one was let on unless they worked for him or the NIDS people. This year we've had shows coming out. There's a show, I think it's on, well, here it is right,
yeah,
here.
It's
on History Channel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. It went pretty in depth. And now we have, they have somebody on Coast to Coast tonight that I'll be listening to. I'm hoping, if not, I'll be listening to it in the morning, who actually worked on the ranch and took pictures of the property. And that's one of the articles I've shared with you all. And I'll share this article on the Podzilla page and Reddit as well.
There's also, I want to mention real quick, there's also a pretty decent horror film called Skinwalker Ranch that came out in 2013. That's actually pretty good if you ever get a chance to watch it. I mean, it's nothing spectacular, but I really enjoyed it. It's a good watch if you get a chance. They don't really go nearly in depth about Skinwalker Ranch as I'd like them to, but it's a fun little horror film if you can catch it. You know, October's right around the corner if you're looking for a good Halloween type film to watch.
Yeah, they even mentioned it's in the wiki here too. It says it's loosely based upon the folklore that surrounds it. So, I mean, for your horror movies, that's usually in your best bet. Loosely base it so that you can kind of just play with the fun stuff.
I'm sitting here looking at the Vice article I posted from them, and I couldn't imagine having a job just sitting down and watch. Like, you just get paid to sit on Skinwalker Ranch.
I was looking at the, you said Vice, and I'm like, I'm definitely not looking at Vice. I didn't realize there was one from Vice. Yeah, I need to read through this. You sent this earlier today, and I did not sit down and do it, and I wish I had now. While we're just in the midst of all this, before I forget, two things. Number one, how do I put this? Diplomatically, you guys will know what I mean. At my job, my clients annually produce a project one of which the possible topics for is Skinwalker Ranch. I'll tell you guys more about that off the show. But so I hear about this pretty much on an annual basis, sometimes more interestingly than others. The other one would be, just to relate back to this topic, back way back when on PZ85 Plays, when we were doing the horrors of Perryville Trilogy, one of the possible episodes, which, to be fair, I may still bring back sometime in the future, is entirely based around the concept of the Skinwalker. So it is not out of the question that if we go back to that game, you guys may not interact with something related to this. But you won't know.
Well, you have my attention.
I honestly, in a way, so, I wish I had done that one instead of the last one we did. I liked the last one, but I feel like it fell a little flatter than some of the others, so this might be a good way
little bit.
To bring
it. It was fun, but it wasn't quite.
There were too many characters. Let's just put it that way. I had too many people to keep up with.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here trying to go find some of the experiences that has happened there. For some reason, the Wikipedia doesn't have it. Cattle mutilations has been one of the biggest goings-ons on the ranch, which we talked about animal mutilation ad nauseum on I Want to Believe in previous paranormal shows. I know that's one of Shannon's favorite topics to talk about.
Yes. I'm still here.
Yeah, but yeah, chime in some, buddy.
Oh, I'm actually looking stuff up about this while you guys are talking about this. Sorry.
Tanner, I'm looking through the Vice images, and I mean, there's a lot of really interesting stuff, but this in particular feels like it is almost more about, if you get into the text, a lot of it is about some things that happened there, but the images are almost about what's going on now exclusively. So here's one example that's mentioned on there. It says, things came to a head when ranchers Terry and Gwen Sherman bought the property in 1994. Documented in the book Hunt for the Skinwalker, the Shermans alleged that their cows were mutilated with surgical precision in broad daylight and that their family was hunted by strange aerial objects and floating orbs of light. They heard disembodied voices, experienced poltergeist activity, witnessed horrible monsters emerging from portals, and claimed that they encountered a wolf that, when shot several times by a high-powered rifle at point-blank range, did not die. Their story became public in the summer of 1996, and the Sherman Ranch was launched into the paranormal spotlight. Weeks later, Las Vegas aerospace billionaire and paranormal aficionado Robert Bigelow, who we were just talking about, bought the ranch from the Shermans and spent more than two decades studying the strange anomalies that apparently occurred on the property.
The wolf story reminded me that, and I don't know if this is a fever dream, but I remember one of the stories maybe being about a smoking dog or something like that.
It doesn't sound immediately familiar to me, but I could imagine that might be related.
Let's see. I've got an article from Newsweek talks about some of the goings-ons at Skinwalker. The three craziest UFO-eyed creature and unexplained happenings from Utah's secret to Skinwalker Ranch. Number one they talk about is the cattle mutilations. One of the biggest curiosities involving Skinwalker Ranch is the unexplained occurrences of meticulous cattle mutilations that have apparently happened in daylight. I didn't know it was in daylight. That's
what the other one mentioned as well, was that this stuff was happening occasionally in broad daylight. So
that's, man, how's something like that happen and you don't see it?
Sorry, I'm skimming through the Vice article, and the guys who were monitoring stuff after Bigelow, like the current guys who were monitoring it, one of them's last name is Bard, and so one of the things mentions Bard's favorite system is something he designed and built himself. Sentinel Assignment Telemetry and Notification, or SATAN, is a four-legged metal unit with a built-in computer and screen. SATAN is equipped to detect vibrations in the ground and air at very low frequencies, transient magnetic fields, as well as infrasonic and seismic activity. So apparently they have an area where they keep this little sort of robotic deal that they send out, and he says they call it the Satan pit. And then it says Bard chuckles at his odd biblical sense of humor, saying, "I know." that's good. That's good.
Well, I mean, at least he knows.
Yeah, at least they have a sense of humor about it. That's good.
Skinwalker Ranch is on my list of places that I want to go to. And I think we put this list together at some point.
Yeah, because I remember me putting Bobby Mackey's on mine, and you put Skinwalker.
Skinwalker, Gettysburg. I think we should do another list like that this year, because no one listened last year.
Well, we've got more people on now. Different people on now.
Sure.
That's true. No more science, bitch. The A-Bears are gone, unfortunately. Well, yeah, unfortunately.
So, number two, UFO sightings. Former owners of Skinwalker Ranch claim to have spotted UFOs and even aliens 7 feet tall. It's far from the only UFO-related story, and the ranch is even nicknamed UFO Alley. There are also tales of unexplained lights around the large property, which the History Channel aims to explain. Ranch's data scientist Travis Taylor told Newsweek that these are things that could be seen during a live stream of the ranch, as they happen often. Watch closely, and you are likely to see UFOs, strange lights in the sky appearing and vanishing, the mesa glowing and flickering, unknown creatures wandering by, and any number of other crazy things you won't believe until you see. Unexplained creatures. The History Channel claims people often see unidentified beasts, which could be skinwalkers. The term comes from Navajo legend that these animal-like creatures are witches who can transform into beasts. Skinwalkers are associated with negative energies, not good witches. In addition to the unexplained figures, a deranged and unkillable wolf is a legend on the ranch, too. It's said by some that the previous owners once saw a giant wolf attacking their cattle. When the wolf was shot, the hunter just told a story. And that's it.
I think we had that, either that story or a story very similar to it on a different episode a while back about people that went to the Skinwalker Ranch and were looking for something and they spotted this wolf. God, I wish I could remember the details of it because I don't know if it's the same story or not. But it was super creepy. I remember I put it on one of the shows. I don't remember.
Well, I think what really gets me about this when you put it all together is that it's not... Most of these places, you can identify one thing. There's poltergeist-style activity. There's some sort of cryptid-related. It's mostly UFO. Skinwalker is just everything. It's just the whole kit and caboodle. Nobody says that anymore, but you know what I mean. I'm skimming through the Vice article again, and so we've talked mostly about, you know, cryptid-type stuff and the UFOs, but then there's also a mention here that without quoting the article specifically, there's a guy currently who was working there when they did this, talking about how when they first took over the ranch, Bigelow had an older couple, he says, who were the caretakers, and they liked living there. He says one night in 2016, right before basically they turned it over to a new group, they called him about 2 a.m., said someone was there. There was an old basketball that they kept by the front porch, and they said it sounded like someone was bouncing it against the house. And he thought, oh, it's just someone who has trespassed onto the ranch, so I'm going to go check it out. He lived about 15 minutes away. He said, I got there, made sure they were okay. I walked through the house, told them to stay inside. He used a thermal camera, went to all the sheds and the outbuildings. There was nothing out there. And he said, but the whole time he felt like he was being watched. He got a shotgun from his truck. He went to the front yard, blasted a few shots in the air just to scare off anybody that might be there. He says, I was searching through the old homesteads up the truck, or taking my truck up the road, and as I got a little closer, I started to get really scared. Then I heard this voice, clear as you and me talking right now, that says, stop, turn around. He said, I leaned out the window with my spotlight, started searching around, nothing, so I blasted a few shots and yelled some more, but nothing ever ended up coming of it. All in all, he says, eventually he basically told the couple everything was fine and went home, but a similar experience happened 6 months later. He was plowing snow, same voice, same feeling of anxiety and fear, and so he felt like he was running into the same situation more than once. Evidently, this happened to him several more times, so...
So in other words, the Skinwalker Ranch is just a giant cluster of what?
Yeah, basically. Evidently, they're running into a little bit of everything. It's UFOs. It's paranormal. Well, I guess it's all paranormal. It's poltergeist style, cryptid. It's a little bit of everything.
It's what we like to call a hot spot.
That's right.
Basically.
And what better way to basically kick off October? It's not October, but it may as well.
Oh, you son of a bitch. That's exactly what I was about to do. I hate that. This is why you're a good friend.
Right.
Because I was just about to say, it's a good way to end the show. And you know what? The next show that we do, it's going to be Terrifying Tanner Tuesdays. Nah, I can't put it together, Tanner. It's just I Want to Believe.
It's fine.
It's just I Want to Believe. It's October special editions of I Want to Believe. It's going to be, I don't know what we're going to do different, but I guess something.
Let's rename it Tanner Wants to Believe. And we'll put his.
I want to believe in Soviet Russia. Tanner believes in.
I want to believe
Tanner is terrifying.
Oh, he is. Trust me.
That's too long.
I mean, okay. Guaranteed.
Wait a minute. Are you afraid of PZ85 After Dark? Wasn't long.
Well, you hate that so much, but it is a good title. You got to give him that.
I'm giving that much. Well, he also created Terrifying Tanner Thursday, and that was a great title.
What about that movie?
I mean,
what about
the original title was supposed to just be Are You Afraid of After Dark?
But what about that movie Hunter wrote? I didn't like that title.
What movie was that?
The Midnight Coterie of Sinister Intruders.
Oh, yes, yes. Dear Homeowners.
Dear Homeowners.
No,
may we murder you?
No.
No, you may not. The Homeowners. Hello. Anyway, that was my Danny Glover. No one got that.
It was good. No, it was good.
So I'm looking at the calendar, and if we follow the current schedule, we only really have the two episodes of the show in October. Though, frankly, I mean, as often as we get stories, that may be all we need if we're going to move some of this content to the other shows. Because typically in October, most of the shows have some sort of feel of Halloween to some degree.
We try to have a Halloween theme, yeah.
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 Well, so what I'm thinking is, we could do our regular scheduled shows. So what, the 12th and the 26th?
Yes. Yep, the week of Halloween and all that.
And then we could do our specials on like a Saturday or something. That way, you know, we'll still have four shows, but we'll have, they'll be spread out.
Yeah, that's something we can do. Again, I the plan is, and I guess this is the first time I've really talked about it on the show, but the plan is we want everybody up here for Halloween. I don't know if you guys had other plans elsewhere, but I'm trying to put together, and it won't be Star Wars, put together some tabletop stuff. We may do a special edition of plays for Halloween. And whether we record it or not, that's the whole plan, is just to just kind of get the group up here. If it's going to be nice outside, we got the deck out back, we got the fire pit going. Again, blue moon, all that good stuff. We're just going to leave our front lights off, so we don't deal with any trick-or-treaters or any kids. It's all just us enjoying ourselves. Yeah, that's the idea.
Hunter.
Yes.
Question.
Yes, yes, go. Go, Shannon.
Can I bring Future Sucks Doll officially?
Ooh, we'll talk about it.
All right. And that's going to do it for us here on I Wanna Believe for the end of September. We'll see you guys in October. And don't forget to watch the skis. God, that blue moon. Guys, that's Hunter. Check us out.
Later.